Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
All right, I'm hitting record.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 1173, I believe. Yes, I think it is 73, right? Just in case. So many episodes. It's hard to keep up. This is your host, Danny Pena. Paris and Pete are not in this episode, but joining me, special guest, my fiance, Rihanna. What's up, Ree? Welcome back.
Hello. Welcome. Thank you.
Yeah, how's everything?
Everything's great. We've had a very busy week, mm-hmm. busy weekend, and we have lots of Apex to talk about today.
Oh my God. What, season 11, right? It's called Escape?
Season 11, Ooh. Escape. Yeah. We got new map, new weapon, new legends, lots of good stuff.
That's awesome. Awesome. We're definitely going to be talking about that. And yes, that was for those that are listening and also watching in on Twitch. More people are going to be joining us, of course, later on. But head over to GamertagRadio.com, post your comments and feedback, listen to our past episodes. Make sure once you listen to your favorite episode, share with your friends, let people know about GTR. You could also find us on any podcast app, or you have to just search for Gamertag Radio. We're there. Follow us, subscribe, and also post a review. If you'd like to be part of our family discussion, which I think we have one, Rhea, I'm going to play a message from one of our listeners here later on this episode. And yeah, so if you'd like to be part of the fan mail segment or episode, here's how you can contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, Ree, before we start, I do want to say something very quick. Like, this is important. Mm-hmm. I have an announcement to make on Tuesday.
Oh, do you?
Yes, I have an announcement to make on Tuesday. Can't say what it is. It's not GTR related. It's something personal, but
yeah,
it's pretty big.
Pretty big.
It's pretty big. Pretty big. And I'll leave it
It's funny. I bet everybody's like, well, you guys got engaged already. Like, what else is there?
Look, we got engaged. That news already been out for a while. It's not that. So it's going to be good. So stay tuned. Make sure to make sure to follow me on Twitter.
Yeah. And that's where you're going to do it?
Yeah, I'm going to announce it there. And, you know, just be on the lookout for a nice little tweet in the morning. And that's it. Morning/afternoon for the East Coast.
Such a tease.
Yeah, that's it. I'll leave it just that. Yeah. Pretty cool announcement. Very excited. Very excited. All right. So we're going to be talking about Apex Legends Season 11. Ree, I only seen the trailer.
Which trailer? There's two now. And we have a third one coming later today as of Sunday.
The one that you see the characters in the tropical island, the beach. That's the second trailer, right?
That is the second trailer. Okay. So that trailer features Ashe, our new legend. Mm-hmm. And I can get into a little more about where she comes from in a second. But it also, more importantly, features our new map, right? So we have this huge tropical island map. And if I can just start getting into it, I have lots to say. Hey, go for it.
Let's talk about this because I'm excited. Because you know what the best part about recording? Every time there's like a new season about Apex and I have you on here. Yeah. I love when you get super excited. Look, I was knocked out, and I just heard Ree screaming like, "Oh my god!" And when I woke up, she was just watching the video, the trailer, and she's like, "Oh my god, Danny, you got to see this!" And she showed it to me, and I love seeing that. Love seeing you getting all hype and excited about the game. So yeah, go on.
Yeah,
keep it up.
Yeah, and to be clear, my Apex fandom does not necessarily mean I am the best player. I can hold my own in most ranked matches, but I just love the lore. I love how it connects to other properties that Respawn has made. I love all of the Titanfall lore that we get to see continue, especially with this new Simulacrum legend, Ash, Dr. Ashley Reed, who formerly worked with Horizon, another character in the game, and a lot of people remember from Titanfall 2. So we get a lot more of her story and like the fight in her head between the Dr. Reed and then Ash, the Simulacrum, and it's just really cool. Like, I'm very excited to see what her dialogue is like, especially when you're in a fire team with, or sorry, not a fire team, when you're in a squad with characters like Mirage, like we saw in Bangalore in the trailer, but then also especially when you're in a squad with Horizon or maybe even Gibraltar, who they've all worked together before in different capacities throughout the Titanfall universe. So it's really exciting. Okay, we'll start with the map. The map is this tropical island. The trailer is very fun. You get everything from Mirage's perspective and point of view. And like I said, he is in a squad with Bangalore and this new legend, Ash. And at first, you know, it's just everybody in shenanigans on the beach, which is lovely to see a beach in Apex that isn't just, you know, the edge of the map where you instantly die on a cliff. We get topless Fuse, which was very great. And then all of a sudden, you know, you get to see one of these prowler monsters. So we've seen prowlers, we've seen other monsters or creatures, I should say, like the dragons or the flyers. And a lot of times when you see them, they're carrying death boxes. You can shoot at them and then it can drop a death box from a different player from a different game. You collect a little bit of loot, but it seems like there's going to be more to that interaction this time around, especially with another creature type that comes in later in the trailer. But it takes you through some fight and chase scenes. You get an interaction with another squad that attacks, and then you finally get to see Ash showing off her skill set. So the first thing I'll comment on is what seems to be a sort of tactical, and she throws down some sort of object and it sort of emanates something similar to Watson's electrical fence. So it freezes Caustic in place, and it does seem to damage him. Maybe it'll take down some shield damage. And that is extremely interesting because we only really have a handful of trappers that are very viable in an aggressive situation. So you have Caustic, who can, you know, throw gas and attack people from above pretty easily, or even trap people inside buildings. You have Watson, mm-hmm. who's definitely more of a defense character. You know, her tactical is the poles that I mentioned, and her ultimate replenishes everybody's shields, but she's definitely a stay in place sort of legend. Ash seems much more aggressive. So if you like trapping and you're a more of aggressive player, maybe Ash is going to be a better fit for you. We get a view of her using a data knife from, again, Titanfall. She used to be a Ronin pilot in the Titanfall series. And it looks like she maybe, like, investigates the dead body and then figures out where the person is who killed them. I think it was Gibraltar or Caustic. So it seems like maybe her passive is seeing where the enemies are that took down the death boxes you can see in the map. That would be huge. So not only is Ash an aggressive character, not only can she trap people, but it also seems like she can get a lot of map intel on where some of the other players are. So very, very powerful. I wouldn't be surprised if this is a Seer situation where she comes out, her pick rate is super, super high, win rate super, super high. Because, I mean, can you imagine a Revenant, a Seer, and an Ashe on the same team? You would be pretty, pretty dangerous to deal with. So they might get buffed. Obviously, that's what usually happens with most legends when they first come out and they're super OP. Mm-hmm. But later in the trailer, I'm going to skip ahead a little bit, you get to see what seems to be Ash's ultimate. And again, she has the Ronin character in Titanfall, or the Ronin pilot. And her Ronin sword seems to slash something in the air, and then she can dash forward like a portal, similar to Wraith. So it definitely feels more like an ultimate move. It is very, very powerful. You can close a distance really quickly. Distance closing is very important in Apex, especially when you're mid to long range battles. And again, Ash seems like an aggressive character, so she can close that gap. Now, there's questions about if other people can enter and exit her portals or if they can be used defensively. But I mean, come on, like, portals are always cool in video games. Swords are always cool. Ash has both. It seems like she's going to get a lot of information about where other players are on the map. And her story is super, super deep. There's lots of games that span across her entire plot line. So there's going to be a ton to unlock with this character. So I'll pause there.
Yeah, yeah. Could I have one? I have a question. Like, one thing, first of all, I'm excited to try this out. And actually, we should definitely play this as soon as it goes live. But I've been noticing that Respawn are adding a lot of new characters that relates a lot to Timefall more than ever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Have Ash. We had Valkyrie. Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes. Now, if this is a way to hype the crowd up so people could get ready, maybe a future Timefall 3 game, you think that's the reason why they're doing this? Because it makes sense to promote it like this. Cross-promote.
I absolutely think that's what's happening. And total candor, I have no idea what's going on behind the scenes. I haven't heard anything, but it would be ridiculous if they didn't capitalize on it if they have a Titanfall 3 that's in production right now. So hopefully we hear something because all of this lore that we're getting between the trailers for the new characters, all of their in-game dialogue, some of the comics that you can unlock both inside the game and then also things you can purchase in real life, they're giving us a lot of story. And I can't imagine that this is only for one property. If it's not Titanfall 3, it may be a different game entirely.
Yeah, and for those who are listening, make sure to let us know through fanmail@gamertagware.com. Let us know if you have never played Timefall, but you are a huge fan of Apex Legends, will this be a new way for you to try out the new game and maybe even Timefall 1 and 2 because of Apex? Let us know, because I'm very curious about that. Because there's a lot of people who have never played Timefall. Timefall 2, in my opinion, has the best first-person shooter campaign that I played in decades. I think since like maybe early Halo.
Yeah, it's really incredible. And like I said, if you're at all interested in the world building and the story of Apex, you'll love Titanfall. There's all kinds of references and Easter eggs in there. Mm-hmm. Octavia is a former pilot. Like, he ran the gauntlet and blew his legs off by accident because he was trying to go faster by dropping grenades behind him. Mm-hmm. Like, there's lots of little tidbits that you get when you can compare the two games and see the different characters and experiences there. So it's a ton of fun. And like you said, Danny, Titanfall 2 is chef's kiss first-person shooter campaign.
Definitely, definitely. Now, Reed, do you see yourself playing this character at all, just trying it out? Or you prefer using your usual characters you always play? And does this make a character like this, does this better to play it as arenas or battle royale? What you think? In your opinion?
Yeah, it's tricky because when you're playing in arenas, you can choose how many tacticals you get, usually pretty generous. And you only get maybe like 2-ish shots at an ultimate. So the way arenas works, for those who haven't played it, is it's 3v3. There are no third or fourth parties. So it's really your team against theirs and just seeing who can be as tactical and work together the best as possible. And when you pick your character, you also choose weapons, grenades, health items, and your tactical and ultimate. And you spend points that you gain by doing well in the previous matches in order to unlock all of these things. So it's tricky because I'm assuming you probably will only see like maybe one ultimate from Ash. If other people can go through the portal that she tears to teleport, it seems pretty overpowered for an arenas match. And if they can't go through it, she can still close the distance, I'm guessing, pretty far. Most of these, you know, teleporting or motion based ultimates get you pretty far. Octane's jump pad, race portal, like you can almost close an entire distance on an arenas map between either of those two characters with just one ultimate use. So I don't think it'll be that frequent that you see it. For her tactical, which is what I'm guessing at, this trap that will take down your shield and freeze you temporarily in place, you can probably get as many as the caustic trap or as many as the Watson fences. So it's definitely very, very useful. I can see her being extremely valuable, even though you probably will only get one ultimate use in a good match. If you're trading, going back and forth with the other team and you get many, many rounds, maybe two. But her tactical alone seems very, very useful. Her passive, however, being able to see where a player is who killed a death box that you're inspecting doesn't seem as useful. Again, if that is her passive, all of this is speculation. But it doesn't seem as useful in an arenas match because there are no death boxes to investigate usually if your team is doing well. If your teammate got shot down by somebody, they probably already called out where they are. So that information isn't really very useful compared to what you already know.
And what you could tell us also about the new location, because looking at the trailer, I think up north of the map, it looks like there's like a volcano or like a storm or something in the back. It seems like it was very, very dark. Do you think that's going to be an area for us to check out once we start the game? Or do you think it's better to just try out new things as a fan of Apex for you?
Well, what we have as of 9:43 a.m. Pacific time is a very short little sentence on EA's website, ea.com/game/Apex Legends. Mm-hmm. And it says, "The storm is brewing. No matter how beautiful it seems, every corner of the Outlands is a dangerous place. You'd be wise to remember that." And as I mentioned in the trailer, you can go in and check it out yourself on EA's website, too. They do have animals that are attacking our players, and our players are attacking back. So, like I said previously, we have a prowler and some flyers that appear and seem to be hunting our legends a little bit more intensely than they do in the game. In the game, these things are either flying away very far or they're locked in a cage and you don't really interact with them very much aside from shooting something. Right now, what we're seeing is these animals that we've already seen before, plus we have spiders. And not only spiders, they're giant spiders. And there's not only giant spiders, there's a lot of giant spiders.
Is this like grounded spiders?
You know what? They're pretty similar. I would say grounded spiders seemed to be almost like the size of a house. This may be like the size of a truck. Okay. And they're pretty scary. Now, one thing that Grounded did have that was really, really helpful, I know for a lot of people, is they had an arachnophobia mode where it visually changed and softened the appearance of the spiders so they weren't quite as horrifying, because they're pretty scary. And I don't have arachnophobia. And every time we saw one of those spider nests or a big one coming at you, or maybe even two, it really got your heart racing. And if you don't find that fun, maybe they will have an option for you. Hopefully Respawn takes a page out of some other games' books, but they definitely seem to be doing that with these creatures this time around. So, you know, other games like Fortnite, for instance, will have some AI on the map that you can interact with and they'll actually fight with you. And these spiders straight up yanked one of the legends and wrapped them up in a web and seemed to take them out of the game. And Respawn is pretty smart with these map previews and with these character reveals, especially the tacticals, the passives, and some of the map details. I think we're going to be fighting spiders this time around. And it's pretty exciting because, you know, if you fight a spider, maybe, you know, they come in waves. Maybe that's something that you can use to lure your enemies into a trap. And I'm going to guess that they'll give you some sort of loot, probably mid-level, maybe a few legendaries here and there. But yeah, it's pretty exciting to see more stuff that you can do with the different creatures on the map this time around.
Yeah, yeah. This is a great question from a shout out to Chancleta Mangu from the Save Point podcast here. He says, he said something about, would either of you be interested in a Apex Legends animated show?
1,000%.
I think I would love to watch that. They should do something on Netflix or something like that, right? I think that would be perfect. Perfect platform.
Absolutely.
To do
it. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the trailers that we get for the character reveals alone, like the stories from the Outlands, are riveting. And some of them have some of the most beautiful animation I've seen of late. And I would love to watch a show about it. Like I said, there's so much lore here. And if you especially go back into like the Titanfall universe, like many, many decades of history that they can pull from.
Yeah, definitely. I know later on there is going to be a gameplay trailer, I believe, right, Ree? This is coming out at 11 a.m. So we were talking about this before we started recording. We're probably going to do like a live reaction to it. So we'll do that, watch it together, and let's see if it's good or not. We'll definitely do that in a few. So can't
That'd
wait.
Be exciting.
That's going to be a lot of fun. Now, what is for this new level and also added that new character, what is the best way as a team to pick your characters? Should it change it up a bit, use the same ones from like the past, or changing things around with like the different characters that you choose when you go out and play Battle Royale or even arenas?
Yeah, I think it depends on the type of player you are. If you are excited about experimenting with different play styles, if the team that you're with, you know, has a high tolerance for you doing some trial and error, I would say, you know, mix it up a bit. Like, do a really aggressive character like a Revenant or an Octane, and then maybe switch it up and play somebody who hangs back a little more like a Watson or a Gibraltar. I think it, your play style, if you know you typically do a healing class, it's very obvious who you would gravitate to, people who do more support. Mm-hmm. And if you tend to be more of a lone wolf, like you're probably going to pick Wraith right out the gate and give her a try if you haven't unlocked some of the other drops. But I highly recommend people unlock every single character and give them a try, at least in the shooting ground and the shooting range, and see how they move. They will appear to have different moving speeds. They all have the same one, just so you're aware, except for Revenant, who walks faster when he's crouching. They all have different hitbox sizes, so depending on the size of the character and the way that they have tweaked it to make it fair mm-hmm. in the meta, you may find that you're getting hit more often than with one character versus another. So I highly recommend some trial and error. And again, it depends on how patient your fire team is or your squad mates are. But if you have the time, it's fun to play around with them and find like a really good fit, because each one is very different and they change over time. Something that happened even in between season drops and between season 10 and this coming season 11, I think November 2nd, we saw major changes to Rampart, and her turret that she pulls out as her ultimate is now mobile. Like, she can pick it up and walk around with it, sort of like you do in pretty much any other game that has a turret. So it's a good idea to mix it up and try different things. Even your main might change between one play session and the next. So it's good to keep an eye on the patch notes and, you know, try different things if you have the time.
See, I use Bangalore, but now it seems, because I always used the smoke, but it seems like now because of the new characters that have been adding, it's been kind of difficult to use that smoke because now things are changing. Now there's enemies, other people that could see where the location is at based on, it could be the mods that they have for their weapons or their specials. It's been kind of difficult for me, so I think I have to like change it up. I have to think so, definitely change my character up. So
I'm actually looking at the pick rates right now for season 10, mm-hmm. and this is as of October 22nd. So it'll definitely change patch update.
Okay, that's good.
But out of the current 18 characters, Bangalore is number 7. So somewhere in the middle of the pack, not the worst, but...
Wait, what's number one?
Octane.
Octane is number one.
Octane is number one. Octane has great movement, pretty small hitbox, can aid the rest of the team, is not just a solo benefit player.
Yeah.
So Octane's passive also regenerates health, so you don't have to worry about carrying health or healing as much when you're playing with Octane, so that gives you more inventory space to carry other stuff, like more grenades or more bullets. And it's just an all-around great character. Wait, also really fun to play.
So what's last? I'm wondering, what's his last character?
You want to try to guess?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't know if it's something like this. Like, I have no idea. I'm surprised that Bangalore is still up there. It's not the last one, so I'm happy.
No.
I'm very happy.
Bangalore's pretty good kit. Number 18 is Crypto.
Crypto
is... not so popular right now. And very close last place second is Watson. So 1.5% versus 1.6 for Watson.
You know, I think we should do a countdown. Okay, let's go with last two first, because we already know Octane is number one. But can you continue? Because I'm very curious now. But
curious. All right. Well, at number 16, we have Rampart with 2.1% pick.
Wow.
And 15th place, Revenant with 2.8%. Quite astounding, considering Revenant has been at the top of the pick list in many other season updates.
Okay.
At 14, we have Mirage with 3.2%. At 13, dropping quite a bit from his debut, we have Seer at 3.4%.
Pause for a second. Mirage, really? Yeah. Was before that one?
Mirage is 14.
I think here's a funny part about that. Mirage mm-hmm. is always in all the trailers because he's funny.
Yeah, he's popular.
Character, very popular from that. But actually people picking it, not that popular. Interesting. Okay.
Not as popular. And Mirage has seen a lot of changes recently, tweaks to, well, not recently, over the full course of his lifetime in the game. At first, you know, he's pretty straightforward. He would send out a decoy, maybe a burst of a bunch of decoys, and then, you know, he could crawl away being camouflaged. Now, with Mirage, you can actually revive a teammate and you both become camouflaged, which is really useful.
That's pretty dope. And I think that's really cool.
Yeah, I'm surprised that he's not higher on the list, because that is honestly a really great update that they've made to buff the character, because his pick rate was a little bit lower.
All right, so you said Seer after Mirage.
Yeah.
Which is also shocking. I thought she was going to be a little bit higher, but maybe it will change.
Sear debuted pretty high, but yeah, then got nerfed quite a bit. As I mentioned, a lot of characters we've seen, you know, sort of rise and fall. I mentioned Revenant is another one that was very, very popular, especially when you put an Octane and a Revenant on the team together. Their win rate together is ridiculous. But then Revenant gets a nerf. You see the same thing with Horizon, who was on pretty much any competitive team that you would see.
Yeah.
Her kit got nerfed, and then she, you know, she drops a little bit too. So it's pretty common to see them rise and fall with every different update.
All right, what's next? Who's next after Seer?
After Seer, we have Gibraltar at 12 with 3.4%.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you think that makes sense?
It's fair. He has a big hitbox. I love Gibraltar. This is the thing. Like his passive is a little negligible. It's a shield that protects his face, so you can't get as many headshots on a Gibraltar. And, you know, his dome shield is really useful, especially when you're in those, like, third-party situations and you need to close in the ranks with your team, regroup, heal up for you need, like, an extra 5 seconds just to get your bearings.
Yeah.
But his ultimate should put him higher. I don't know why he's is low. Maybe it's just not as good synergy with other picks that are up in the top right now.
Okay.
He's one of my favorites.
Okay. Well, next?
Yeah. Next we have another one of my favorites, Fuse, Walter, at number 11 with 3.5%.
Fuse, okay. Number 11.
Yeah.
You surprised it's not higher than this?
No, I'm not. I understand that I have my favorites and they're not the most popular. And that's always fine with a game like Apex. Like, there's 100 people in every lobby. It doesn't matter who is the most popular. If you like a character, you should pick it.
Yeah.
I love Fuse because Fuse can carry a lot of grenades. They can double stack grenades unlike any other character. And you can throw things farther. So I like picking people off. For a while, I was running pretty much exclusively with the 30-30 repeater and a fuse and just, like, mess with people from a distance because I liked a third party. Mm-hmm. But I'm not surprised. It's in the middle somewhere, in the low end of the middle. It's fair.
Yeah, okay. All right, next.
Next, we have another one of my mains, Caustic, at 10 with 4.4%.
So this is based on... Per season, it changes. So this is based on...
This changes every update. So anytime update. There are... Okay. Yeah, anytime there are a patch... There's a patch for different characters. They'll nerf some, buff some, maybe adjust the hit size. And, you know, you'll see rates get picked a little different every time around. So
it's
constantly fluctuating. And it changes quite a bit. Like I said, people go from first to middle to last all the time.
All right, next one.
Next, we have Loba. Number 9, 4.4%.
Number 9.
Yeah.
Not surprised.
I'm surprised Loba's so high, honestly.
I'm not surprised. I always see people playing every time I play. Every time I go online and play Apex, so.
Yeah, I guess it's because Loba is very, very useful in the beginning of the game and then the end of the game. In the middle, not as much. So beginning, you land hot. Everybody has this bloodbath. Whatever is left, Loba can sort of, you know, pick from all of the dead bodies and get the best loot possible right early in the game, especially if you land in a high tier loot area. So that makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. In game, same thing. You can shield swap real fast with a Loba if you have any kind of accelerator or you know, you're different places on the map where you can ultimate charge. It's a pretty useful skill, but her passive, like seeing shields and high tier weapons, I don't find it as useful. I know a lot of people do, but yeah, I would have put her below someone like a Gibraltar, whose ultimate is much more damaging and is more DPS. So it's interesting to see her in number 9.
All right, number 8.
Number 8, Horizon. Like I said, the mighty have fallen. Horizon's at 8 with 4.7%.
Okay, number 7.
Your boo, Bangalore.
Yeah.
5.2.
Always. Number 6.
This is Nano's boo. 6.5, Valkyrie.
Valkyrie.
6.5%.
Not surprised about that at all.
Yeah. Valkyrie has like 4 passives.
Yeah,
Valkyrie is really useful.
I thought Valkyrie was going to be at least top 5, top 4, or something like that. But okay, that's good. That's good.
Yeah.
Next one.
Next, we have Lifeline, 6.9%, number 5, which is really exciting because, you know, a lot of times healers don't get a lot of shine or a lot of love, but... Mm-hmm. even though people hardly ever use Lifeline's Ultimate anymore, care package, you're not guaranteed gold weapons in there anymore. She's pretty useful, especially now that you can revive people very, very quickly with her tactical.
All right, next one.
Next, we have Pathfinder, our favorite Mervin, 9.3%, number four.
Number four. Now, the top three is going to be interesting. Well, top two, we already know number one, but what's number three?
Number three is Bloodhound.
Bloodhound.
My boo-boo.
You know what? Bloodhound, I think, is the perfect character. If this is like your first time playing, my opinion, it's the best one to pick to try out first.
Agreed.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah, Bloodhound is at number three with 11% right now, at least. And their kit is super, super useful, like you said, especially for new players, because you get a lot of intel on the map. And like I was mentioning with Ash, possibly being able to scan death boxes and see where the killers are, you can find out where players are on the map. And not only does that help you from a defensive position, it also makes you a very valuable teammate to the other people in your squad. And thirdly, it helps teach you where people go. And if you're not as familiar with the map, if you're a newer player, it's really important to watch the behavior of other players, especially enemies who are good, i.e. alive in the mid to end game, and see what they do. And it's really nice to be able to watch people run around with a character like Bloodhound or Seer.
All right, the next one, number two.
Number two is Wraith with 11.6%, our very own Lone Wolf.
Now, you already know number one.
14.5 Octane.
Now, before we go to the next topic, this new character is coming up. Do you think it's going to be at least in the top five or not really?
Most new characters are, just because people are curious about them. So I say definitely top five. We'll see how powerful she is, like what her scan range is for, you know, seeing enemies, if that's what her tactical or passive is. We'll see how long her traps last, if that is what her tactical is, and with the ultimate, how far she can blink, because a blink ability would be incredible. Closing distances is really, really crucial, especially if you can do so undercover with smoke like Mangalore, Caustic, or with a portal like Wraith and potentially with Ash. So we'll see. All right. But I think it'll definitely be pretty high.
Yeah, and we definitely going to be streaming our live reaction of of the gameplay trailer, which comes out at 11 a.m. Pacific. For those who are listening, you just listen to our reaction here on the podcast. It's going to be pretty cool. All right. So
there's one more thing.
Yeah. I was going to mention something, but go ahead.
One more thing about what we know confirmed of the new season. So again, going back to EA's site, we know that we have a new weapon, and it's great to see them Respawn coming out with all of these weapons with the season updates, because people get comfortable with their loadout. They know where things spawn more or less, and it's good to shake it up a little bit. Not only do they keep this game fresh, so fresh with new characters so often in balancing patches, they're also throwing completely new weapons. And this time around, we get the Car SMG. Now, what it says on the website, again, this is EA.com, says it's a flexible weapon. The Car SMG is the gun for when you're ready to make a stand and become the last legend still standing. So it sounds like maybe it's close mid-range. I mean, it's an SMG, so obviously it's not going to be a distance weapon. But what's really interesting is it comes from Titanfall. If you remember Titanfall or Titanfall 2, the Car SMG is one of the weapons you can use as a pilot. So it's really, really cool, and it'll be exciting to see how it feels, if it feels the same as it did before, or if it's like a completely new gun feel in Apex Legends.
Yeah, I can't wait to see. Now, I first of all, this is why I love bringing Rhi here to talk about Apex Legends, because she goes all in. All in.
I got a lot.
And it's going. And I'm going to bring her back for other things and also future updates of Apex Legends, because she is the pro when it comes to that game.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
This episode is sponsored by Namecheap, who is offering all Gamertag Radio listeners an exclusive deal. Get a .live domain name today for only $1.99. .live is the perfect domain and brand name for gamers, live streamers, and esports players. Seamlessly redirect your live streams to Twitch, YouTube, Instagram, or any streaming platform. Promote your .domain name in your bio, social posts, live shoutouts, and stream chats, and grow your fan base today. But if .live is not for you, Namecheap got another offer who is thinking about starting a new website, all GTR listeners can get 30% off any non-premium domain, including .com and other popular sections. To access either of the deals, go to Namecheap.com, select any non-premium domain name, and enter the code GTR in the promo box at checkout. Now, you might be asking, what is Namecheap? Namecheap is the world's second largest domain register and top service provider for everything you need to launch an amazing website. Namecheap has been in the industry more than 20 years. Their mission is to make the internet accessible, affordable for everyone. Namecheap offers hundreds of domain extensions for the traditionals .com and .net to .gg and .live, which has become a go-to for many gamers and streamers. So, once again, everyone, Namecheap is offering Gamertag Radio listeners a .live domain for only $1.99. The original price is $20.88 plus 30% off any other non-premium domain name for its first year of registration. The offer cannot be combined with any existing sales, but can overdrive any current sales if its discount is less than 30%. Now, GTR listeners, take advantage of this right now. Get your .live domain name for only $1.99 or enjoy 30% off any non-premium domain. Go to Namecheap.com, search for your desired domain, and use the code GTR at checkout. We'd like to thank Namecheap for sponsoring this episode of Gamertag Radio.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
I know there is there's leaks that already came out, not only about Apex and also other games, which I'm not going to mention here, which I've been seeing it on Twitter recently. Mm-hmm. It's very disappointing seeing people that I know from the industry, especially journalists and everything, posting these leaks. I used to be that type of person back in the days when I started. You know, I'm like, hey, leaks is cool. It will hype up the game and all this stuff, you know. But, you know, talking to people that I know from the industry that have been doing this for a very long time, they'll tell me, like, look, there's a reason why we don't like leaks, because we have a plan to market the game, to, you know, we have budgets for certain things we want to do with the game. But when there's a leak, it completely mess up your plans completely. If you're part of that marketing team promoting that game. You know, the reason why I also wanted to have you here, you know, as a person that helped a company to market multiple games, what do you think about leaks and how that affect everyone that's working on that project, you know, not only from the marketing side, but PR, developers, etc.?
Yeah, it's disappointing and frustrating, I'm sure, for a lot of people, especially when leaks happen for things that are big, right? With a game like Apex, people are data mining the back end of it constantly. They're looking through old Titanfall 2 game files, trying to make connections. And a lot of time, the developer can have fun with that and, you know, plant seeds and get people hyped. And either way, people know about the game. They know the kind of things that come to it, and they just really get more excited. But there are other times and other types of leaks that really do ruin plans. And like you mentioned, budgets. And so, Danny, you're referring to me helping market games in the past. I've worked on everything from a Tell Me Why or an Ori to a Halo 5. And if you have plans for a game like Halo 5 and maybe some big aspect of it, like the name or a date gets leaked, that can throw in the garbage months and months and tens and hundreds of thousands of dollars of plans. Mm-hmm. Maybe there was an event that was going to be the announcement. Maybe there is a big, huge cameo that, you know, somebody was excited to announce and now that person can't do it. And so a deal falls through. Like it really does have huge domino effects, especially for bigger games and games that aren't out yet. Mm-hmm. So it's very, very disappointing to see. And, you know, I just hope people understand that it's not just giving information to the public that maybe they feel they're entitled to. it's an entire department's job to plan these things out and to make sure they align with everything else that's in the company goals and for the game release. And they had a plan that made sense for a lot of reasons. And now they have to redo everything and possibly lose out on a lot of opportunities. So, you know, hopefully we don't keep seeing leaks, but I doubt it.
Yeah, it's I get that people are excited to hear what's new from their favorite company or, you know, just video games in general. But it sucks behind the scenes, man, for those that have been working so hard on not only developing in this game, marketing plans, budget. Like, now that whole plan is ruined because now someone just posted on, you know, YouTube or posted a blog post because other sites are also posting it too. And it just ruined the surprise. So when I saw a couple things for the past couple days, actually, for other things too, it was very disappointing seeing them. And there was even one where, you know, multiple companies, they have like a partnership with creators, right? There's EA that have a kind of like, it's called a Game Changers, or I think they completely changed it. And 2K has something like that. And other companies, Ubisoft has something like that too, Xbox, PlayStation. And, you know, sometimes they'll get new people that never got an opportunity to see a game ahead of time or preview where they're under embargo, and then they'll talk about it, you know, once the embargo lifts and everything. And I seen people that will post a video before everybody else, break the embargo, because they think this is going to help their career. Short term, yeah, you get like a little buzz, you know, everybody, you know, sharing your video and everything. But long term, not a great opportunity for you, because now you break that embargo. Now companies know, okay, we can't work with this person. And it's going to go around. The industry is very, very small. Everybody knows each other. So their friends are going to know. They're going to pass the word around like, hey, do not work with this person. This person leaked this game and this game. And at the same time, it just hurts their plans too because of that. You know, people need to be smart long term. How that's going to help you if you leak something now. For me, I know I learned my lesson back in the days because I was just new doing this. But there's some cases that wasn't my fault. You know, it was more of like a miscommunication with the studio and with me and other people. But throughout the years, I learned not to do that. You know, and I'm always posting and giving advice to people like, yo, do not leak stuff. This is not good. This is not good at all, man. You know, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
You
know? And the way that I like to explain it to people who haven't been in a position to understand what it feels like to have an entire year of your work thrown in the garbage. Yeah. Imagine you have a good friend and their partner is planning a surprise party for them and you go tell them, like, it not only ruins it for the person who was trying to plan a surprise for their partner, but it takes it away from the person who was going to get surprised. You know, like it's very possible when, you know, something is big and it's planned and been in the works for, you know, many, many months or maybe even years, that there was a big reveal event that was, you know, an exclusive partner with so-and-so outlet in order to make the deal happen. And now the news isn't exclusive anymore. And now it can't happen. And it just sucks. It's really doing a disservice to not only the people who are trying to break the news themselves because it's their news, but also to the people who would have been excited about the way they were going to reveal it. So if you hear about leaks, try not to post them. It's not good. Yeah. It's not really good for anybody involved. I guarantee you it's the worst way to find out good news.
Now, I know we have questions here, and I have one more question for you. But this is, again, from Chancleta Mongo. He says, Rihanna, do you think it's better to try to take control of a leak situation like Xbox did last year with Xbox Series S? I remember when that happened. Or let the leak play out and act like it didn't happen? How will you handle situations like that? Like, you know, from a marketing side and also from a content creation side. What you think?
Yeah, it's tricky. I mean, I can give two examples. One, you know, the the incredible team at Xbox and the monkey meme that has now won awards for marketing tweets, because, you know, the Xbox Series S leaked ahead of the time when it was supposed to be announced. And, you know, you got that beautiful use of a very familiar meme of a monkey looking side-eyed at the crowd. And it's a great way to say, like, oh, well, I guess that's out of the bag, but at least people can talk about it with us instead of talking about us. And in marketing and in PR, you always want to take control of the conversation. You never want it to go off the rails or to get away from you. So that was brilliant moves. And obviously they've been rewarded for it. And then you have another situation, like not necessarily a leak, but a rumor with the studio making Abandoned. And, you know, people can sort of run amok with an idea or rumor or what could possibly be a leak, we don't know. And it could really truly ruin lives. Like, there are people who are getting death threats at that studio now because what people assumed was a new certain franchise game. I can't remember what it is.
Silent Hill.
It was Silent Hill, yeah. Mm-hmm. Now people are mad that it isn't. And it's because they didn't take control of that rumor. So it's really tricky. It's good to stay on top of the messaging. And if it's something that is yours, you need to be sure that you're the one telling its story. And storytelling is what marketers do. So when people take that opportunity away from them, it really is taking their whole job away.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, man. All right. So another question is, you know, where were you when the Xbox Series S leak went out? Because I'll tell you this. I was in New York City. It was a Sunday, I believe, Sunday night, mm-hmm. and the price got revealed online, like it got leaked, I mean. And that 24 hours was like the most interesting thing that I've ever seen in gaming. Like, it was just insane.
And it was over the weekend, too.
Holiday weekend.
People were trying to enjoy their time off before this big announcement, you know, like, yeah. Think about it. The weekend before a big project, you're chilling, trying to get that last few minutes in with their family. And then, nope, I got to go to work. Ugh,
oh, my God. Yeah, it sucks. And I heard stories of people trying to handle the situation. Oh, my God. It was insane.
So intense.
Yeah.
I don't remember where I was, but I do remember how I felt. And I was like, wow, this is horrible. A console leak. Like, that is big. You only get a couple chances of that in your whole career, mm-hmm. if you're lucky. Yeah. And for somebody to leak it, like, oh, that hurt me. And I wasn't on the team that handled it. So it was really tough to watch. And brilliant moves by the social team to just, like, get what I'm assuming is a quick approval from the highest level to make that meme. And it really worked. So
yeah,
proud of what they did, but it sucks they had to do it.
Yeah, I know there was people that posted and shared it because somebody else already shared it, and it just went around. Someone always want to be like the first to leak it, you know, like, oh, well, I'm just going to put it up. I don't know, man. I used to be that type of person back in the early days when I started, but I'm like, nah, I'm done with posting leaks. And look, there's stuff online all day today, and also for the past few days it's been going around. But I'm not gonna talk about it. I'm not gonna share it. It's not my thing. So
yeah, it's similar to when all of the E3 attendees' personal information got out.
Oh my
right?
God, that was one of them.
You don't share that stuff, right? If you wouldn't share that, why are you sharing this? It's just it's not the same. Obviously, but it's the same spirit. It's private information, and you shouldn't retweet or link or screenshot it.
Yeah,
it's not good.
And there's people that call themselves journalists, but like, no, I'm just helping the situation. No, you made it worse because now everybody knows my information. Everybody else's too, because it's out there now.
You're literally doxing people. It's kind of one of the worst things you can do on the internet.
Ridiculous, ridiculous. All right, Reed. So. This is going to be a little bit tricky. So I have a voicemail. So I think the only way for you to hear it, you have to go to the Twitch stream.
Okay. Let me mute.
And you can hear it. So I'm going to look for it. I love posting, you know, questions from our listeners. So for those who are listening, post your question about anything about gaming. So for fan mail, you ready, Ree?
Yes.
Okay. And it's time for fan mail.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
All right, shout out to Michael, aka Toon Medic, for sending this question. I'm going to post it right here, right now. Let's go.
Hey guys and GTR fam, this is Michael, aka Toon Medic. I just want to say the NVIDIA news that just broke today, allowing Microsoft Edge browser to use GeForce Now, allows you to play Steam PC games on the Xbox. So imagine playing PC games now on your Series X, including some of the Sony PlayStation games that are heading over there. So I think it's incredible, great win for Xbox, and I just wanted to hear what you guys thought about it. Okay? We'll see you later. Peace.
All right, shout out to Toon Medic. And Rhea, I could answer this because you probably haven't even tried it out yet. But so I've been working with NVIDIA now for the past couple of days because they already announced a new tier that's coming up of the RTX 3080, where it's going to be faster servers, the quality is going to be a lot better, everything compared to the previous ones that they have. So that's pretty cool. I've been trying that out, and I have a couple other things that I'm planning to release in the future here on GTR, like other things I've been working on behind the scenes, so stay tuned for that. So I try to use the browser from my Xbox console to see if I could stream NVIDIA GeForce Now through there, and console-wise, it doesn't work. So I try to use Xbox and open up the web browser Edge. Didn't work. Now, if you do that through your PC or any other device like Android device, mobile, it will work perfectly with that. So I'm excited that it's available for other devices, but Toon, you can't play Steam games on your Xbox console. That's not going to happen for now. So I even asked the NVIDIA team if that's available, and they say no. So just want to say that real quick, man. But yeah. Just want to say that very quick. I know I've been playing, a couple of games, and I mentioned this in the last episode. You know, I tried Control, Alan Wake, and Streets of Rage 4, all through the cloud, using GeForce Now, through the service there on Shield TV and everything. So the quality looks great. It looks really, really cool. So I can't wait once the RTX 3080 version comes out. I can't wait to try that out and talk about it on the show. So it's going to be really cool. Just want to say
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's also really great for travel. Like we've been saying, haven't tried it yet, but we've been saying, wouldn't it be nice to just load all your apps on there and all your games that you want to play? And then when you go visit family, or if you're going somewhere and staying in a hotel, it's really easy to connect, HDMI, get on the Wi-Fi, and then you can play all your stuff and look at your apps. And the apps run really, really smooth too.
Yeah, yeah. I love the device. It's pretty cool. Really, it looks good.
It's so style. It's so travel size. It's tiny.
It's super small. And it's easier for me to play any game that I already have through my Epic Game Store, Steam, Ubisoft Connect, and also EA. I could play any of those games on the go through that little small device. So yeah, that's like perfect for me to take it around and try it out. So it's pretty cool. Love it.
Yeah.
I'm definitely going to be trying out other things. I know there's a couple of the games coming out this week. I know the Guardians of the Galaxy is coming out. Are you going to try that out?
I want to. It looks pretty cool. I'll give it a shot.
Yeah. It looks interesting. Very, very interesting. So, yeah. All right, Rhea. So anything else? Is there anything else that you would like to talk about here before we wrap it up?
Yeah, I can finally talk about this publicly since it did not get leaked. G4's launch is now announced. So November 16th, it's a Tuesday. We're going to be streaming, partying, and you'll get the first taste of Attack of the Show, X-Play, our new esports show Boosted. There's going to be some references to our new Dungeons and Dragons thing going on. So it's going to be a lot of fun. And keep an eye on our merch store and our website. There will be lots of stuff dropping there before we launch. And some of it even teaches our future shows. So, yeah, it's going to be fun.
I think I could definitely talk about this. What's what I'm planning to do tomorrow? Can I talk about that?
I don't know.
Okay, well, all right. Let's keep it like that.
Keep an eye on Janie's Twitter tomorrow. He's going to be doing something.
Something. It's nothing to do with the announcement that I have, but it's going to be pretty cool. And that's it. All right. So, everyone, thank you so much for listening to episode 1173 here at Gamertag Radio. Rhea, once again, thank you so much for coming and talk about Apex. You're the Apex Legends expert. There's nobody out there that I know that's like an expert like you. So shout out to you.
Thank you.
Yeah. You want to promote your Twitter, social media, anything? So people can follow you?
Yeah. Yeah. Anytime there's something going on with Apex, I usually tweet about it. And same with G4. So you can catch me at Rihanna Tweets Now. That's R-I-A-N-A Tweets Now. And yeah, I'll post fun stuff that I'm doing with Danny and all of my different work exploits, what's good games, and definitely more Apex, especially today.
Definitely, definitely. And Back for Blood, let's do it. We gotta finish it. We're like in the last, almost the last act.
Yeah, we're so close. Like halfway through act three.
It's just time. We'll make it happen. We'll definitely make it happen. All right, thank you for listening to Gamertag Radio episode 1173. Make sure to find us on any podcast app. Just search for Gamertag Radio. We're there. Subscribe, post a review, help us out so much. Subscribe and also follow us. Definitely, man. And yeah, we'll be back here later this week. I have more content coming here on Gamertag Radio. So stay tuned. All right, well, until next time. Remember, Tuesday, I have an announcement, a very important announcement. Make sure to follow me on Twitter to check out the announcement. I'm excited. Look, I'm smiling. We were even celebrating this past few days. So yeah, it's been good.
We were.
It's good. Good stuff. All right, until next time. We're out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.